Before I read our gospel lesson, I wanted to give you an introduction to our sermon series, especially for those of you who might not have been here for a while. On Christmas Eve, we started a new sermon series entitled Dirty Word. And the word part of that title comes from the idea of God's scripture being God's word. Also that Jesus is God's word made manifest. In the Gospel of John, it says the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The dirty part of that is for several reasons. The first, like I said on Christmas Eve, is that Jesus came to get dirty, and we need to get dirty to share God's love. The second part is that there's many positive associations with the word dirt, that if you're going out in the garden or your spouse goes out in the garden, you expect to get dirty, or you'd expect them to get dirty, but yet there's something positive that comes from that. But dirty also in the sense that things that we find offensive, we often call dirty. And as I preached about last week, that God's word can be offensive. But when God's word offends us, it has the opportunity to change us. And that, in fact, that's the best way, is when we're offended by God, to have for us to be changed by God in that. And it comes from a book by Jim Walker called Dirty Word. And the ideal, the hope of this sermon series is for us to look at some of our deepest needs, how the world tries to answer those deepest needs, and then how God answers those deepest needs. And it's for people who are feeling lonely, who are feeling lost, who don't feel like they know what's going on or what God's calling them to do. And each week now, we're going to look at one of our deepest needs. This week, we're looking at assurance, the desire for safety and security. And then we're going to look at how the world tries to answer it this week by worry, anxiety, and fear. Next week, we're going to look at how God answers assurance, which is through communion. And we'll look at that next week. And so that's what we're going to try to do for the next couple of weeks, is look at our deepest needs, how the world tries to answer them, and how God answers them. Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. It can be found on page 1,505 in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along with me. And this is Jesus speaking. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you add an hour to your life, single of your life, by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, as we meditate on your word and hear your word proclaimed, open up our hearts, open up our minds, and let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us this morning. Amen. As I think about worry, fear, and anxiety, I know some of you who study emotions might say, well, those are separate things, that fear and worry are different. Maybe anxiety and worry are related. And so it might bother you that I'm going to put them all together. But in my mind, it's really hard to separate worry, fear, and anxiety. That if I'm experiencing one, there's a good chance I'm experiencing the other two at the same time. And as I've been preparing for this sermon series today, in this sermon particularly today, I was driving this week, and I was thinking about some future sermons and this sermon, and I started thinking about some of the worst times in my life. And it occurred to me that some of the worst times in my life, the experiences that I still remember and are still painful, came about because I was worried, anxious, or fearful about the future. And I want to share two ways with you. One that I've shared before in another way. The first is that when I was little, I used to struggle at night. I would worry, I'd be fearful, I'd be scared, I'd be anxious about very big questions like, is there really a God? Is there a hell? Am I going to hell? Can I trust? God's promises? And do I have the right faith? I would sit there and think, you know, I was born in the United States to Christian parents, but what if I've been born to non-Christian parents? What if I've been born in a different country where there's a different religion that's prominent? What would I believe in? Would I, you know, am I just lucky enough to have been born in the United States to have the right faith and everyone else is doomed? And I would wrestle and worry, and I'd start worrying about other people dying and other people getting sick, and it just would feed on itself, and then I wouldn't get any sleep. And all of them related to my sense of safety and security, and the safety and security of those around me. And another time that I really caught myself, an awful time in my life, being worried, anxious, and fearful, was right after I graduated from seminary and started ministry. Now, it wasn't the ministry that was the problem so much as just where me and Megan were financially. That Megan and me had been up in graduate school, now we're out of graduate school, and we have loans and debts and things to pay off. And Megan doesn't have a job. And this might be as a shock, but as a starting out pastor, I wasn't getting paid a whole lot. And there was a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety. Megan got a job, but her first job was not helping us make the ends meet. And it took us a while to really figure out how we were going to meet our budget. And it was very full-time, full of fear, anxiety, and worry. Would we be able to pay our bills? Would we be able to meet our obligations? What if Megan didn't get a job that she could handle? And as I think about it, it was bad for me. It was bad for Megan. It was bad probably for everyone around me as I was anxious, worried, and fearful. And ultimately, it wasn't good for my relationship with God. And I know these experiences aren't unique to me, that we live in a world that tries to answer our deepest need for safety and security, assurance, with fear, anxiety, and worry. And it starts at a very early age. I'm not blaming parents, and I'm sure if I was a parent, I'd probably do this too. But we tell kids about all sorts of things they're supposed to be worried about and fearful of. Don't talk to strangers. Don't do this. Don't do that. And then we go take them to school, and then they're told that they have to get good grades or they're not going to be able to do what they want to do in life. And we put them and all sorts of fear about making sure they study for their tests and get ready for this and read that. And we don't really tell them that the reality is that until high school, most of what they do doesn't really matter at all. We scare them at an early age that they need to pay attention. They need to do their work. There's just some adults that like to scare children and put fear in them. I had a gym teacher, that health teacher, that, I mean, he's always telling us about how awful the world is and how it's going to get worse and just put a lot of anxiety in us. And we start talking about permanent records and everything you do is going to be on your permanent record and it's going to follow you for the rest of your life. And if you, you know, then you get into high school and you're worried about your job or going to college or this or that, and everything matters and you can't let anything fall and your only way to safety and security is to do everything right. And we put fear in people and we scare people. And then it happens in your job that your boss, you know, so you have to do this or that, or you're going to lose your job. You lose your sense of safety and security. And then we live in a world that tries to sell fear and sell worry and sell anxiety, that you don't sell newspapers by putting a headline, well, everything's good and getting better. You're not going to get people to stay tuned to the evening news if you said, well, nothing bad happened today, so we're just going to show pictures of flowers for the next, you know, you're going to have some kind of catch to say, oh, look at this person in handcuffs, or did you know that your salad could kill you, or this or that or the other thing? And we try to sell fear because fear sells, and our politicians sell fear, that they tell you you should be afraid of what our opponent's going to do if you get that person elected to office, that we try to sell fear in our products, that you need to buy this to be safer, that product's not nearly as safe as this product, and that we play on fear and anxiety because we all have this basic need for assurance, that we want safety and security, but the world just offers us fear, worry, and anxiety. And it gets larger than that. That we're always told that we need to be worried about climate change, we need to be worried about pollution, we need to be worried about this economic catastrophe or that economic catastrophe, we need to be worried about this cliff or that debt situation. It hurts us in so many different ways. And fear and anxiety hurts our relationship with other people too. That I often think the reason most people don't want to go to nursing homes is because we're afraid, because we're fearful, that we're afraid we're going to see people differently abled. We're going to see people that are struggling. We're going to see people with dementia. We're going to see people that scare us. And then we're like, whoa, in 20 years, I could be like that. 30 years, I could be like that. And we're afraid and we're scared. So then, you know, Jesus says what you do for the least and lost, we won't do it for them because they scare us. Or we won't spend time with homeless people because we might spend time with them and realize, I'm just a step away from being homeless myself. I'm one catastrophe away. We like to be thinking we're different than the people that are hurt, because it helps with our sense of safety and security. So fear drives our relationships with others. And it goes on. I could talk about people in prison that, you know, you start to talk with them and you realize they're not that much different. If I had been born in a different home, a different situation, I might not be where I am and I might be there. And the church worries too. The church buys into fear and anxiety as well. That here in United Methodist Church, both in the local church and in the larger church, we are worried. We are fearful. We wonder, do we have a future? We worry about numbers. We worry about finances. We worry about, are we growing or losing our influence in the world? That United Methodists were worried that we lost United Methodists in Congress. There's not as many United Methodists in Congress as there had been previously. Are we as influential as we once were? And can this church of ours survive the modern world? Can we be relevant in the modern world? And we run on fear, and we're worried, are we successful enough? Are we going to have a future? And I think it hurts us ultimately, because we want this a sense of assurance. We have this need for assurance, safety and security. But fear and anxiety and worry, the world's answer to that doesn't ultimately make us feel safe and secure. And actually, just is a downward cycle that continues and continues, that the more worried you get, the more anxious you get, the more fearful you get, it just adds up and builds up on each other, and it doesn't stop. This is not something new. Jesus tries to address it, I think, in today's scripture lesson, fear, anxiety, and worry, and how it impacts our relationship with God. To put our scripture lesson in context, this is from the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of Jesus' longer sermons in the Gospel of Matthew, and he's been preaching for a while now. And at some point, he starts talking about money. And he talks about how you shouldn't try to build up earthly wealth, and you should build up heavenly wealth. And you shouldn't try to build up barns and store things. And that was in verse 19. And then we get to today's verses, where he continues to talk about money and worry and anxiety and fear in relationship to money. And as we try to unpack today's lesson, I think there's a few things that really jump out. Jesus tells them not to worry, first of all, because worrying is useless. He reminds them that it doesn't add an hour to your life. It's not going to help you in any way. You can be worried about your food. You can be worried about your shelter. You can be worried about this or fearful about that. But none of those things adds an hour to your life. And to the extent that your fear and your worry creates anxiety in you, it probably takes away from your life, because that stress and that those things cause harm to your body, and it hurts you. And that Jesus says, don't worry about it. It's not going to change anything. That fear does not answer our need for assurance. It doesn't offer us safety or security. And then the second point that Jesus, that I think brings up is that it's a reflection of our faith. That Jesus tells them, if this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not more clothe you, you of little faith? That the more we worry, the more fear we have in our lives, the more anxiety that we have in our lives, it starts to crowd out our faith. That the more anxious we are, the more fearful we are, the more it pushes out our faith, pushes out our relationship with God. The less we trust God, and the more we trust ourselves. And that fear, worry, and anxiety is a reflection of our faith. And he concludes this passage of Scripture by saying that, what are we ultimately striving for? That worry, fear, and anxiety would have us strive for material wealth, would have us strive for material security, would have us strive to try to earn as much, to have as much possible so that we won't have to worry. And yet we have to worry because it never is enough. You can never have enough money to prevent financial ruin. You can never have enough stuff to make sure you have enough for all time. And so you're always worried, you're always anxious, and you're always fearful. And Jesus tells them that seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. And that one of the big problems with worrying is that we're so worried about our material possessions, worried about stuff, that we aren't worried about God, that we're not spending our time and energy on God, and they turn us away from God. And that Jesus says, you don't start with your fear, your anxiety, your worry about stuff. You start with seeking God, God's kingdom and God's righteousness, God's plan for your life and how God wants you to live. And those things will take care of themselves. Fear and worry aren't going to help you in regards to that. And that if you are worried, if you are fearful, if you are anxious, constantly so, you're always trying to meet that need of assurance, of safety and security, but you never do. You're never going to be satisfied. And it's just a downward spiral that continues time and time again, because we never have enough to feel safe and secure. Our faith is not in ourselves and our ability to provide for ourselves. Our faith is in God's promises and God's providence. And fear, anxiety, and worry turns us away from our faith in God, turns us away from God's promises and God's providence, and turns us to material things, and turns us selfward and selfishly so. And that gets me to the main point of my sermon today. Worry, anxiety, and fear turn us away from God. In trying to understand what that means, I wanted to keep using this image that I brought up before. And it's an image of how we think about our relationship with God. And I think we need to think about it in terms of orientation. That are we oriented towards God? Is our life heading towards God? And a lot of our words that we use about our faith in the Bible are words of orientation, that sin is missing the mark, that you haven't hit the target that God would have you to hit, and that repentance is turning back towards God. And one way we can think about life is there's so many different things that turn us towards God, and there are so many things that turn us away from God. And for us then to be able to identify what are the things that turn me towards God, and what are the things that turn me away from God. And fear, anxiety, worry, they turn us away from God. And things like spiritual disciplines, praying, tithing, fasting, they turn us towards God. And for us then is to try to spend more time seeking God's kingdom, his righteousness, practicing spiritual disciplines, and less time engaged in fear, worry, and anxiety, things that turn us away from God. And part of this orientation then is that fear, anxiety, and worry, they turn us inward. They make us think about ourselves. But God doesn't want us to have an inward focus. Jesus said that the highest commandment is to love God and love our neighbor. That's an outward focus. And yet fear, anxiety, and worry turn us inward. We start worrying about ourselves. And it's just a spiral that leads us nowhere. And yet when we practice spiritual disciplines, when we love our neighbor, and when we love God, and we do those things that help us love God and our neighbor, that turns us towards God and has an outward focus, not an inward focus. And while we'll look more deeply at God's answer for assurance, which is communion, next week, we can think about what happens when we feel fearful, when we feel anxious, when we're worried. Well, we can start thinking, what are those spiritual disciplines that can help turn us back to God? Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's reading the scripture. Maybe it's talking to one of our Christian brothers and sisters and say, you know, I'm really struggling here. Can you walk with me in this turmoil? Maybe it's fasting and just emptying ourselves of our material things and remembering that God is really the source of our sustenance. And it's hard, though, in a sense that if, you know, when people talk about God's providence, when they talk about, you know, just totally trusting God, that it doesn't mean we just stop doing everything. You could theoretically read our scripture lesson today and think, well, we're just going to trust God in everything. We're just going to sit on our thumbs till God provides. And it's not really like that. It's trying to understand, how do we live our lives in a way that's oriented towards God and not worry and fear? And on one level, it might not look all that different. It might look very similar, but it's really, where are we oriented versus what are we doing? And you could read today's scripture lesson with him saying, well, God provides for the birds, God provides for the flowers, God will provide for you, and we wouldn't have to do anything. But it's more like, how do we orient ourselves to God and let God worry about the end result if we're doing what we believe God is calling us to do? One of my favorite Christian artists, and I don't have many, and most of the ones that I like are dead, is Keith Green. And he has this song called He'll Take Care of the Rest. And I think he captures in the one verse this. He'd love to get you through it if you'd give him a chance. Just keep doing your best and pray that it's blessed, and Jesus will take care of the rest. But we have to do what God calls us to do, pray that God will bless it, and move on. Not be worried and fearful about what will happen, but to just believe that God called us to do it, and to keep doing it, and praying that God will continue to guide where we are going. The overarching question here is, what are we seeking? Are we seeking God's will, God's kingdom, God's way, to meet our deepest need of assurance, safety, and security? Or are we trying to do it on our own? Are we turning back in towards ourselves, turning away from God, and worrying about it, being fearful about it, trying to take ownership of it, and not trusting God's promises or God's providence? What way are we oriented? Are we oriented towards God, or are we oriented towards ourselves and our own fears? And the issue is, we have this deep need of assurance, but worry, fear, and anxiety will not answer that need. They turn us away from God, when God is the source of our assurance. And when we live this out, when we can have assurance in God's promises and God's love, even in the most difficult circumstances, it's a powerful witness to our faith. Just like I said that fear, anxiety, and worry can crowd out our faith, but our faith can crowd out fear, worry, and anxiety. That when we are strong in our relationship with God, as we grow in love with God and our neighbor, it can push out our fear, it can push out our worry, it can push out our anxiety. And when we get to that point when the whole world is worried, when everyone else around us is fearful, when there's anxiety in the air, and we are not, when we are joyful or when we are peaceful, it's a powerful witness to God's work in our lives. And it can point other people to God and say, wow, how can they be joyful in the midst of this? At Mifflinville, I had them sing this hymn called Give to the Wind Thy Fears. It surprised me as I was looking through the hymnal trying to pick music, because it's a German hymn that John Wesley translated into English. And I was like, why did John Wesley translate a hymn into English? And the backstory to this hymn is they think that he heard this from the Moravians. And he might have heard it from the Moravians as he was traveling to the New World. He was on a sailboat. And I can't imagine being in the ocean in a sailboat. But he was on a sailboat and there was a storm. A nasty storm. And everyone on the ship thought they were going to die. And then they had the Moravians that were just singing joyful hymns of praise to God. And in the midst of this, everyone worried about dying, they were joyful. They were happy. They were singing. And maybe they were singing, give to the wind thy fears. Where the second verse goes like this. Through waves and clouds and storms, God gently clears the way. Wait thou God's time, so shall night this night soon end in joyous day. And that they trusted in God's promises and providence, even in the most difficult circumstances. They trust in God's faithfulness. And John Wesley heard them singing these hymns in this worst time and was like, they have something in their faith that I don't have. They have a joy that I don't have. And it made him seek it. He wanted to grow in his love for God so that he could have that. That peace in the midst of difficulty is contagious. But so is fear. That sometimes people are fearful and anxious and they get everyone else fearful and anxious around them. I can't tell you how many times that either Megan or me are worried about something or anxious about something. And then the other person's anxious as we talk and because it's contagious. But peace and joy are contagious too. And when we can have that faith that has no room for fear, anxiety, or worry, it's contagious to those around us, especially when they are worried, especially when they are fearful. My invitation for us this week is in our journal, on a piece of paper, in our prayer journal, write down a list of your fears, of your anxieties, of your worries, and pray over them this week. And just ask God to cast them into the wind, like the title of that hymn. And to then pray, God, how do I seek your kingdom? How do I seek your righteousness? And how do I turn back to you? Because worry, anxiety, and fear turn us away from God. Amen.